with him. And I know he prays for me every day. He's faithful to pray for us. He is a man that loves to pray. He believes that if we're going to have a right relationship with God and be able to be used by God, you got to be able to be a man of prayer. Amen? And so that's a blessing to have a pastor that will pray for you. Tonight, let's look over in Song of Solomon, chapter 6. Song of Solomon, chapter 6. There's a one little verse in here that I'd like us to look at. And the Lord has established His church upon the face of the earth. And He said the gates of hell should not prevail against the church. Amen. And so we don't have any fear of being exterminated or, stomped out by the evil ways of the devil. And we know he hates us and he hates that which was made in the image of God. And he'd love to see this book destroyed. And he's tried from the day that it's been brought forth. He'd love to see the church. And he's even made proclamation that the church has been destroyed, right? I mean, he's established other organizations that claim to be the church, the founding church, and all that. And so he's tried to hide the church. He can't do away with the church, but he's tried to hide the church. And but you know, he'll never hide the church because it's God's family. Amen. And it's God's institution, just like he'll never do away with the family. That was God's first institution, was the family. The husband and the wife, that's a male and a female, and children, amen? That was the family that God had instituted. And the devil's done a good job in trying to destroy the family. He's done a very good job at it. But the family will never be done away with because it's the work of God, amen? And it's God's way. So we don't have to fear that the church will ever be taken off the face of the earth until the Lord comes to what? Take us out of here. Amen? So this little verse here in chapter 6 and verse 10, just think about this one little verse here. It says, "Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners?" Amen. When you think about this verse right here, and you think about the church, we, the people, the body of Christ, those that have been born again, had surgery that's without hands, we've been sealed by the Holy Ghost, we're adopted into the family of God. I mean, that's all God. God did it all. Amen. And He's the one that wrought faith in our heart that we could even call upon Him through His Word. Amen. He's the start of our faith, and He's going to be the finisher of our faith. Amen. He said the work that He started in us, He's going to finish it. Amen. He said He's going to keep us until that day. So we have promises of God that we are going to endure until we come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's all going to be through His power and through His sustaining hand. Amen. But this little verse here, fair as the moon, clear as the sun. You know, you think of the church. Just a dirt ball, the dust of the earth, right? Just the dust of the earth, which the dust of the earth really doesn't have a lot of worth. Amen? I mean, no one goes around looking for the dust of the earth, maybe unless you're looking for gold dust or something like that. Amen? But God took the dust of this earth and He made man. He took a dirt ball and He chose the simple thing of the world, just some dust, and He breathed life into us, and He established us on the face of this earth that we might be able to reflect the glory of God, that He might be able to permeate Himself through man and just shine on the face of this earth. He said He was the light of the world. He shined in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. So He's chosen the base things of the world, right? Amen? The base things. He's chosen you and me. He has chosen you to reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember this, the Lord said, "I'll not share my glory with another." So He isn't going to reflect His glory through you that you might get any glory. Amen? He's not reflecting His glory through you that you might be exalted or esteemed to be anything. Amen. I mean, we're nothing. We're but the dust of the earth. Amen. And He said we're going to return back to the dust of the earth. He says the flesh is an enmity to God. That means we're an enemy to God, this flesh right here. So it's not the flesh that Jesus Christ has sealed and sanctified, and it's not the flesh that He's going to reveal the glory of God through. It's going to be that inner man. He's going to be the inner man. It's going to be you behind those eyeballs. God said the eye is the eye gate to the soul, and God has saved the soul. Amen? And God wants to use you to reflect His glory as He does that sun up there. Now, you go down there on the shore, and I haven't been down here on the shore, but I assume there's a shore down here, amen? And you walk down there in the cool of the evening, and you can see the moon. And if that moon's out full, what a radiance, amen? And it has no light of itself. And it shines forth the glory of the sun, amen? The S-U-N. And some of you go down there, and you see the full moon, and you think, man, that's peaceful. That's just beautiful. And you love it. And of course, some of you might think, there's something evil about it. You know, the werewolves are out or the wolves are coming. I'm just kidding. But, you know, I mean, when we look on that sun, we are looking at the sun. The sun of the rays of the sun is what we're looking at. Amen. And you know, when the sun is shining in its fullness during the day, you can't look up into the sun because it's going to destroy your eyes. Amen. It's too much for you. It's just too much. And God, back when Israel was, He's revealing Himself to Israel, no man could stand in the presence of God, right? I mean, if man was to be in the presence of God Almighty, the fullness of God, he'd be destroyed. Couldn't take it. Israel couldn't even take God being up on a mountain with the mountain shaking and the smoke and such. You know, the presence of God was too close. It put them in fear. And so, you know, God has chosen you as a vessel to reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, that sun is not in its fullness all the time. It doesn't reflect the full fullness of the sun at any time. But it does reflect different, abilities of light to come forth from the sun. And that's how what God wants to do with you. There's someone in your life that might not be able to have the full radiance of even the moon as far as the radiance of Jesus Christ. And God might just use you to go and just say one verse to them or share your testimony to them. That might be all that they can take of the Lord Jesus Christ. They might not be able to take a someone in coming and try to, you know, impress that they have to get saved right now. You know, you got to get in this book and you got to read it 10 hours a day and you better, you know, pray to God. And they might not be able to take that. Most people can't, right? Amen. But, you know, God has prepared you for something, and He's prepared you to be a messenger that is going to take the light of God to a dark and dying world, a cold world. A fretful world, a fearful world. And God is going to give you the right amount of light that someone in your life needs to be able to see. Amen? You believe it? You believe that tonight? God said that who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. And as I bring what the Lord has given to me, let's just reflect on that. Reflect that on just what God has given to us in the natural to show to us what we can be in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be a bright full moon. We might be just a little sliver of light to somebody. And you know, sometimes we get disappointed because we're not able to spend a lot of time with somebody, or we haven't been able to give the full gospel to someone, or you know, we think like we failed or something. But you know, that might be exactly what God wants to give to them, is what He's given to you to give to them. That one little piece, that one little ray of light. Are you doing that in your life? Are you allowing God to direct your path for those about you that are on their way to a devil's hell? They're on their way to hell. They're going to go to a lake of fire and burn forever. And a lot of people don't think about hell very often, and we don't hear much about hell. But you know, Jesus Christ preached about hell a lot. He spoke of hell much. And we got a great picture of hell in Mark chapter 16. I mean, that's a place where there's no names. You'll never find anyone in hell in the Bible that has a name. And that rich man never spoke to Abraham about, well, I don't deserve to be here. Or how he might get out of there. He knew he deserved to be there. And he knew he wasn't getting out of there. Amen? But he was concerned for his brothers. Are you concerned for your brother? Don't wait till you get to hell. If you're not saved tonight, you need to get saved. You need to call upon Jesus Christ and get saved. You know, there might be someone down in hell more concerned about you than you're concerned about yourself as far as eternity. They might be thinking more about how you might be able to come to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might not come into this place of torment, as that rich man said. It's a place of torment. Amen? And so just consider this little verse here tucked away in the Song of Solomon chapter 6 and verse 10. And let's have a word of prayer. Father God, as we look into Your Word tonight, Lord, I just pray that Your Spirit would have His way with each and every heart. Lord, I pray that You would use this vessel to Your glory and honor, Lord. I pray that no flesh receive any glory and honor tonight, Lord. Just Jesus Christ be lifted up before all men. And Lord, we need Your help tonight. We need Your love and we need Your hand of chastening, Your hand of exhortation, whatever is needed in each life, Lord, You know. And Father God, we just pray that You would help us to be in unity of heart and unity of mind tonight, that You might have the greatest opportunity in each life, Lord. And Father God, I pray You do that. If anyone has something on their heart with it's a burden to them tonight, Lord, I pray that You would relieve that from them even now, and that You would give them the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. They might just give that thing over to You and rest in that. And just bask in Your love tonight, Lord. And we thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's go over to Romans chapter 1. You know, some of the things that the Lord is looking for in that man that is going to shed abroad those rays of light is integrity. And integrity means basically to be honest, to be sincere. And that's the kind of man that God is looking for, is a man that would be honest. The Lord didn't ask us to go and be anything more than what we are. Now, I don't consider myself a great preacher or a great teacher or a great evangelist or even worthy to travel around the United States to do anything. But the Lord has given me the opportunity to do this as an ambassador for Him in the capacity that He's given to us, my family and I. And I'm gracious that, you know, I'm just so thankful that the Lord would even find something that I could do for Him. But, you know, the Lord is concerned about the integrity of the man. And you need to be the one who would be the greatest critic of yourself when it concerns to you know your honesty. I mean, you could come and tell me a story about your life, something that happened in your life, and I can only believe that you're telling me the truth. But you know if you're telling me the truth. I ask you a question, you give me an answer, you know if you're telling me the truth. I may not know. I don't know your life. I don't know your upbringing and your experiences in life. But you know in your heart. And the Holy Spirit's going to check you. And He's honest with you, right? I mean, God's honest with us. He says every man's, God is not a liar, but every man's a liar, right? God's not a man that He should even lie. So when God is looking down upon the face of the earth, He saw Job. I mean, the devil didn't want to bring Job before God because God had worked in Job's life and he had wrought a great work in Job. And Job was a man of integrity. He was an honest man. He was a sincere man. He was a man of uprightness. He did right in his life. And that's what God's looking for. And if you're going to ever be used by God, God is looking first for you to be an honest man. You're going to have to be an honest man. You're going to have a quality about you of being sincere. And no matter what the cost, we must not be a liar. You go back into Revelation chapter 21, one of those that will have their part in the lake of fire is going to be a liar. All liars, the Bible says, in fact. It says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. So we don't want to be caught being a liar. And the Bible proclaims that the devil is the father of lies. And so if we are finding ourselves to be liars, lying about things in our life, little white lies are not little white lies, they're lies. Amen? And I talk to a lot of people on the streets, they think that it's just a little lie. Well, a little lie is a lie. I mean, what's the definition of a little lie versus a big lie? It is a lie. And Romans chapter 1, and in verse 28, it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness. Now think about this as an ingredient, okay? Ingredients in some substance you might eat. And you know, the most prominent thing in that food is going to usually be the first thing mentioned. You know, and look at this list of sins. And I look at this as the same as they might put a list of ingredients in something that you might buy in a store. God starts out with fornication there. He says they're all unrighteousness. Okay, he starts with fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents without understanding, covenant breakers without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And these are the kind of people that you're going to deal with in your life, and you've already dealt with in your life. But let it not be named among us that we take part in these things. These are things that God says it's an abomination unto Him. He says that He gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And He goes on with His list. Let them not be named among us. And let us not take company with those that are in such things. We need to look at them as one that needs to be ministered to, not one that's that I'm befriending as in a friendship of fellowship. We, the body of Christ, this is our fellowship. Amen? And anything outside of that, that doesn't uphold the integrity of right, righteousness, uprightness, that's not our fellowship. Our fellowship's in the midst of the body. Amen? And that's what we need to seek out. So if you have friends that are not right with Jesus Christ, that is not your fellowship. That is your ministry. That's your ministry. And we should rub shoulders with those that are outside of the body of Christ. Not for fellowship, but that we might minister to them. And Jesus Christ sat with the whores and the whoremongers, the murderers, the drunkards. I mean, He was right out there in the midst of them. But He didn't go out there for fellowship, because light and darkness don't have fellowship together. Amen? And we need to understand that. And we need to come to grips with that, because the church is falling into a deep sin all across the nation. Our churches across the nation are full of fellowship with darkness. And it ought not to be so. I mean, we got churches that are putting programs together to bring in the darkness of the world, not that they might minister to them, but they might become a part of the church. Well, that's not our ministry. Our ministry is not to make the world comfortable, but that they might be uncomfortable, because we want to do that which is right, and we're going to stand for right, and we're going to be honest, and we're going to have a life that's pure and holy, because it does what? It reflects the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So the world ought to feel a little uncomfortable around us, but we ought to try to befriend them in a way that we can still minister to them. But don't go to the nth degree that you're going to go and have fellowship with them. That's not your fellowship. That's your ministry. And we need to understand that. You know, if we think that we're a man of integrity before God and we're entertaining the darkness of the world, we are mistaken. We have deceived ourselves. We need to be entertaining the things of light. He said our conversation should be in heaven above. Amen? And you know, that's what the world needs to hear. They don't need to hear some prepared dissertation of the Word of God. It needs to be real. I mean, that was the way of the apostles, the way of Paul, Jesus. I mean, he was real. He didn't come out and say, okay, all right, let me read you the rules and the list. Amen. It wasn't that way, even though they had the Ten Commandments. And that's a list of rules, amen? And God gave them to man that it might be a taskmaster, a schoolmaster to teach us that, hey, we're undone. We can't make it of ourselves. We're just not going to make it, amen? And so we need to be, in tune with what God is looking for. He's looking for a man of integrity. And the second thing that God is looking for is a man of obedience. He's looking for someone that will be obedient to that which God has commanded. Remember, Jesus said, if you love me, you obey my commandments. Amen? And God, Jesus Christ, is not a taskmaster with a whip. You know, that's not the way He entreats us. Now, if we want to be disobedient, He's going to chasten us because He loves us. Now, if you're in disobedience and God isn't chastening you, and you need to consider yourself if you be in the faith or not. I mean, if you know you're in sin, or you're entertaining sin, or you have friends that are in sin and that's your fellowship, and if God isn't chastening you, then you need to consider yourself. Consider your life, your relationship with Jesus Christ. Is it real? Do you have eternal life? Are you born again? Or did you say some prayer after somebody, or you just out of emotions moved forward. And I think, a lot of us, emotions have a great deal in our life, right? Amen. Especially women, right? I mean, run on emotions. And I've had a son, one of my sons, he'd come up all the time to the altar, especially when I'd preach on hell. He didn't want to go to hell. But he wasn't saved when he left, the altar. I wouldn't discourage him. But, he needed to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so maybe some of you moved out of emotion and you, and it's a good thing to go towards the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a good thing to respond to a call of obedience on the Lord Jesus Christ. But know within yourself if you're saved or not. John said, I write these things unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. Amen. And we ought to know if we're saved or not. And so if you are in sin or you're entertaining a fellowship with somebody that you know is lost and you're enjoying those things that brings joy to them and that's their life, then maybe you need to check yourself. This is the greatest barometer right here. This is a thermometer of righteousness right here. You know, just like you go over there and you up and down right here. This will tell you how hot or cold you are with the Lord. And remember, he said he wished that you were either hot or cold. Because if you're lukewarm, he's going to spew you out of his mouth. Amen. We were on the ferry on the way back, me and a couple of girls yesterday, and we're waiting to get off. And this lady comes over, and she sticks her head over the waste paper basket there, and she looks up and she sees my shirt. It said, Fear God to give Him the glory. And she's like this, and all of a sudden she just vomits. And it was like straight vodka. I mean, it was like there's no food involved or not. I mean, straight vodka. This girl was just filled with alcohol. Amen? And that's what God is going to do with you if you're filled with the wickedness of this world. Because you can't mix light and darkness together. It doesn't mix. You can't mix righteousness and unrighteousness together. It isn't going to mix. So when you stand before God, see, the truth of what was inside that woman came out. And it's going to, it's very vivid, I know, but that's the way it's going to be when you stand before God. You're not going to be able to hide what's within. And if we listen to ourselves, we might be able to discern what's in our heart. God says what's in the heart is going to come out of the mouth. So, start listening to yourself. We need to judge ourselves lest we be judged. The world, the first thing you ever hear when you go out on the street is, don't judge lest you be judged. That's all the world knows about the Bible. There's two things. Don't judge lest you be judged, and Jesus made wine. That's all they know about the Bible. Amen? That's all they know. And it's all trying to justify themselves. Amen? But, you know, you're not going to be able to justify yourself when you stand before God. It's going to come out. It's going to reveal. Everything will be revealed. Well, obedience, Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. And we have the Great Commission in Matthew. He said, go. He didn't say, you know, just like the first church in Jerusalem. He told them to go out, right? He told them to go, and they wouldn't go. They held up. And, you know, they fortified themselves there in Jerusalem. And God had to take Saul like a hand grenade, and he pulled the pin on him, and whoop, right there in the middle, man. And they went out. They were pushed out, amen? And so, if you're saved, God wants you to go out. He wants you to go out to those that are on their way to hell. And you know, God said that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the power unto salvation. Unto those that believe, He said He chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Amen? And so there are still some people in this world that believe in God, the Creator. And they're walking around in this world and they're wondering what it's all about. And they don't have the answers. And they're not finding the answers in the tree of knowledge of college. It's not there. It's almost mandatory to take religious courses now in these colleges. And they give them about 10 major world religions. And when they come out of that thing, they're so confused about religion, they just throw their hands up. They don't want anything to do with religion. And that's the devil's desire for them. That they have nothing to do with religion. Those people out there, they don't hear truth. It's like pastor going into the prison there. They're going to be excited because they're going to hear these men come in there with the truth, and they're going to sit there as men did when Jesus Christ walked on the face of the earth. They're going to say, hey, there's something different about this group. Because they don't come in here with the theology of man. They don't come in here with the theology of some great professor. They come in there with the authority of God's Word, and they're saying, thus saith the Lord. They're saying, this is just the way it is, guys. This is where the rubber meets the road, right here. God hasn't made it hard. He's made it plain. And, you know, the world thinks they have to speak with, words that are this long because you can get your money's worth, right? No, God gives us all that we need right here. And you know, this King James Bible is unlike any other Bible because it has the most single, they're just single words, aren't they? They're not compound words. God didn't compound His Word. He made it simple that even a child can understand. I was able to understand. That's amazing, isn't it? And so God can use you, but are you willing that God would use you? Are you concerned about your integrity before men? How about your integrity before God? I mean, I don't want men to call me a liar. I want men to believe me when I say, hey, I will do this. It used to be that way in our country. You could shake hands and seal a deal. You didn't need a contract. And today, it's more than a contract. You got a magnifying glass and search out all the little words. You got to really figure out what's in that contract. Because it's almost like written backwards. You can't even understand the things. But see, it was never that way. And it ought not to be that way in the church. We ought to be able to, you know, have some integrity with one another and believe one another. And how about with God? I mean, I'm not one for making promises to God. That's a very serious thing. But, when we make an oath to God, He's going to hold us to it. I mean, that's signing a contract in blood. God takes it very serious. And so, when we come before God, we better make sure that what comes off our lips is truth. Amen? Because He's the discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Remember Adam? When Adam was in the garden, he walked in the cool of the eve with the Lord. It'd be like going down there and walking with that moon down there. It just sets a different setting down there. I mean, you go down there when the wind is raging, and there's a storm coming in, it's going to be a whole lot different. And when you go down there and you got a full moon, and you're down there with your loved one, or you may be just down there by yourself meditating, it's going to be a whole different atmosphere there. And Adam walked in the cool of the eve with the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his desire, to walk with God, and to hear truth. You have a neighbor, you have a brother somewhere, you have a neighbor, you have an enemy, you have somebody that's desiring to hear truth. They want to hear truth. And if your life is not filled with integrity and obedience unto the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not going to seek you out for truth. They know how we ought to act. If I wanted to know the schedule of this church, of your meetings, and what goes on out in the parking lot and all that, I'd just go ask the neighbors. I mean, I could get a whole portfolio of many of you. What you drive, how you drive, what you listen to, what you wear, how you talk. Really, I'm serious. They know how we should conduct ourselves. The world, the heathen. Amen? And they're watching. And they're writing it down. And we forget about that. We forget that God's writing it down. And God said, the minister's job is to stir up our minds, our pure minds. Ought to be pure minds. Amen? And that's what we need to do, is be stirred up every once in a while. I need to be stirred up. I love to hear preaching because it does something for me. It puts me in check. It puts me in remembrance. It gives me some new understanding or some areas more to study. It opens up more things to me. God is always working on me and leading me along. And that's what God wants to do with you. But are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing? Do you desire to be as like that moon with the radiance of the sun? That people might come and desire to be in the presence of that. There are a lot of people who seek out the radiance of the moon. They don't even think about it being the radiance really coming from the sun. When's the last time you saw the moon? And when you saw the moon, you thought about the sun. Amen? You know what that is? When we go out and we show the radiance of the Lord Jesus Christ and they don't know, and we don't open up our mouths and give the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what we do with that radiance? We take it unto ourselves. And we become self-righteous. And we exalt ourselves. Just like Lucifer did in Isaiah chapter 14. 5 times he said, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. And God said, no, you're going to be brought down. You're going to be brought down. And, we as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to desire that we all be lifted up. But not lifted up into that. But be lifted up as a man and a woman, as a young man, a young lady, that will stand with integrity and stand in obedience. And, just one last thing, thinking about, that man, those three men that were given talents there in the Bible. Remember, one was given 5 talents, and one was given 2, and one was given 1. And the one with the 5 went out, and he invested it, and he brought forth 5 more. And the other one with the 2, he did the same, and he brought in 2 more. And you know, the Lord said to both of them, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen? To both of them. And one brought 5, and one brought 2. The fullness of what God had given to them. That was a talent that He'd given to them. And they both were able to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, He gave unto each one of their ability. Amen? One had the ability of getting 5 talents from the Lord. One had the ability of getting 2. And God knows our frame. He knows what we are. He is the one that's built us. Amen? And when He saved us, He gave us gifts. He gave us talents. And that one that was given 1 talent, God didn't give him too much. He gave him what his ability was in how to serve him. But the Bible says he was fearful. He was fearful. And he was so fearful that he dug in the ground. And you know what I'm hearing about Christians? Remember back when Y2K? You know the largest group that tried to dig themselves in the sides of the mountains and all and filled their garages full of food that'll last for 35 years and all. It was Christians. Christians. And that's what I'm hearing again today. See, we got a one world order coming in. We can see the signs of the time. The end of the world. Well, what's the end of the world don't mean the end of the world of destruction for me. Amen? I'm going home. I haven't finished my course when that end comes. I'm going home. Amen. So I don't want a pack of food left behind. I mean, who cares? Amen. I mean, store it up in heaven. Don't be caught in the day when you got to stand before the Lord with a put some food up. I mean, be prepared for a bad storm, whatever. I mean, that's wise. But I mean, 35 years worth of food or something. I mean, be wise. We need to take what God has given to us and invest it. Amen? Don't be fearful. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. It says of love and a sound mind. Amen? And power. So we can stand in that. And we can see the signs of the times. But He's told us the end of that signs of the time. Amen? It's a victorious time. It's a great time to live. It's going to be a time maybe of turmoil and havoc and all that stuff. But hey, we got a God that said He'd keep us until that day. We have a God that empowered us to be a son of God. Man, He's transforming us to be as like His dear Son. We heard that the other day from the pastor. Amen? That predestination, amen? We're going to be as like Jesus. Amen? So that's and you know, Jesus didn't give up until the end. I mean, you see that man with the one talent. He's whining and crying to the Lord of the harvest. You know, Jesus Christ, we saw the humanity. I mean, we're all going to go through times when we struggle with the flesh. But Jesus Christ, He said, not my will, but thine will be done. Amen? And that's what we need to do. And we need to be there for one another and lift one another up in those hard times. They'll come, but they're for growing, man. I mean, when that wind blows, it's blowing. Those plants, the sun comes up and goes down in a different direction. There's growth there every day. Amen? We ought to be growing every day. So I just wanted to bring an encouragement to you tonight to be concerned about your integrity before man and before God. And number two, you need to be concerned about your obedience. Obedience. God's looking for obedience. He ain't looking for a superstar. He's looking for obedience. He gave you a talent. Two talents, three, four, five, whatever He gave you, whatever your ability is. And He's only expecting that you take what He gave to you. He's already equipped you, or He wouldn't have given it. He didn't give you too much. He gave what you can glorify Him with, and He expects you to use it. Amen? He just wants you to use it so that you might have fellowship with Him. And He might be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He wants to say that and He wants to bless you. Amen. But He can't do it if you're a liar and if you're not in obedience unto Him. But He wants to. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we praise You and we thank You for Your love and care, Lord. And we thank You for Your word. And we just pray for You'd increase our faith that we might walk in integrity as a son of God and in obedience unto Your commandments. And we thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.